How deep are your roots? That's the title of this message. And 2 weeks ago, we experienced a violent windstorm that caused major power outages and left much tree damage. And a lot of you know about that. In my travels and in our own yard, as well as on the properties of friends, we saw huge trees snapped off and others pulled up by the roots. One individual queried, "How did this tree grow so large with such shallow roots?" Roots are the life system of all plants. It's where they receive their nourishment, and it's what anchors them in the soil so that they can withstand the elements. A deep root system is essential for the sustained life of a tree and is also necessary for the spiritual life and growth of a Christian. Our roots as believers are to go deep into the fathomless foundational soil of Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Upon this, we can now begin to build using the character molding bricks of the words of Christ as applied by the Holy Spirit. This building process takes place from within, and it's crafted by the loving hands of our Heavenly Father through our obedience to the Word of God. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 concerns his desire for this very thing to take place in the church at Ephesus. The church is not a building. It's a people. It's a people redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So this desire of Paul's, for which he prays, Paul prays for this, don't miss that. This desire of Paul should be the desire of every grace-loving believer. So let's read the prayer and then focus on one verse in particular. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. Paul writes, Paul prays, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Rooted and grounded in love. What is that? To have roots that go down and draw upon the love of God is foundational to living the victorious Christian life in all circumstances. The love of God is demonstrated in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. This truth is the basis upon which every aspect of the Christian life is built up and lived out. When we by faith receive the gift of eternal life and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that's Romans 3:24, we are brought into an unbreakable relationship, a oneness, a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's love. That's foundation. My sin and the penalty for it on Christ. The wrath of God no longer over me. And His righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, which He earned through His uncompromising obedience to His Father, is placed on me. What an exchange. What a Savior. This is foundational for you individually, and it's foundational for the church. The same root system that supplies life to the church supplies life to you. They are inseparable. When I speak of the church, I mean the universal body in general and North Street in particular. Paul, as he speaks to the Ephesian elders before he goes to Jerusalem, which he will be thrown into prison, he says in Acts 20, verse 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. He, Jesus, bought the church with His own blood. These are the redeemed, the justified, the Spirit-filled, grace-loving, faith-living members of the body of Christ. To be rooted and grounded in love means to realize and relish and revel in the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because I stand justified by grace, through faith, mysteriously united to Christ, so that when He died, I died. When He rose, I was made alive in Him. I now draw all my life source from Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Paul says, "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." This is Christianity. This is a believer's life, and is worthy of all our energy and effort and study and meditation, you know, to grasp what this means and whether we are partaking of it or not. We need to be awakened to the certainty of these promises. That is why Paul says that we might be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. We must see Christ as our all-sufficient Savior and worthy of all our affections and attention. This only comes by way of the effects of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to see Jesus for who He is, as the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, the throne of God, it does not puff us up in pride. It humbles us and causes the roots of faith to go deeper into this continual wellspring of eternal life-giving love. Look at the cross. This is God's work in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. A crucified Messiah. Foolishness to the world, a stumbling block to Jews, but to the called, the power and the wisdom of God. So what might this union look like? Or what should be the production of it? Or how should it feel? Jesus cried out in John 7, verse 38, "If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This is the result of coming to faith in Christ, of receiving Him as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in and begins to create new desires, new appetites. He kindles fresh affections for the things of Christ and holy living. He begins to reveal sin as to what it is and what its effects are. And He gives us power to fight and overcome the evil temptations. He slakes our spiritual thirst, but continues to push us to pursue more, because the more we taste, the more we want. That's why Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Feeding upon the Word of God is paramount to living the Christian life victoriously and to growing spiritually. The way we are transformed inwardly is through the renewing of our mind. And this happens by assimilating the Word of God, applying it to your life. As you do, you are building upon a solid foundation and being conformed little by little to the image of His Son. Psalm 19:7, David says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, it's complete, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise to simple." The law of the Lord is His flow of life towards us, and it's contained in His Word. It can bring healing to a wounded soul where others have sinned against Him. It can bring restoration to relationships. It may sever some relationships, but it will strengthen and it will purify the important ones. This flow comes from the Lord Himself, but also comes through the members of His body. Jesus emphasized hearing and doing the work of the Word. That's where the blessing is. That's where faith is made complete. Matthew 7, the Lord says, beginning of verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The sayings of Jesus are whatever the Holy Spirit takes from the Word of God and applies to my life personally, applies to your life personally. It may concern anger or judgment, unforgiveness, slovenliness, profanity, laziness, stewardship, lust, you name it. Whatever that word is, when received and acted upon, by faith will produce life, and God will be writing His commandments on the fleshly tablet of your heart. Jesus in John chapter 6, He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." As we act upon the words of Jesus, the spiritual man is nourished and our natural man is starved. No word is insignificant. They are all tremendously important. Romans 8, 13 to 14. "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The natural man, the man who is void of the Spirit, the man who does not have the Spirit of God indwelling him, the natural man cannot understand or keep the commands of the Lord because they are foolishness to him and can only be spiritually discerned. In John 6, the Lord gives a commandment, and some say, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" There's no understanding. And because there's no understanding, there's no action. And because of no action, we read next, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." Doesn't mean they didn't keep going to church, or they didn't continue to tithe or do religious activity. It says they just no longer walked with Jesus. So by faith, you, the spiritual man, you know, the man who is born of the Spirit, the man who is birthed from above, you look to Christ for the ability. And by grace you find that where anger and frustration were ever prevalent, there's more patience. Where at one time there was no mercy or forgiveness, only judgment and hardness, now there is some grace. Why? Because you've received mercy and grace and you want to share it. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to clean house because there is a new owner. A new mainspring. There's a new drive system in within. You know, truly, truly, this is life abundant. This is what makes life worth living. Perhaps your mouth gets cleaned up and you're not so quick to defend or justify yourself anymore. You become more appreciative of your spouse and more attentive to your children. Prayer becomes precious and time with Jesus in His Word becomes much more appealing than watching a mundane television show. You're making choices here, but they're choices made on preference. They're not always easy, but you're able because the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Paul in Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And because of that, He gets the glory and you get the benefits. This doesn't happen all at once, but over time. There's a definite change in character and demeanor that comes not from reformation, not because you keep an outward set of rules or you keep within the fences, but it comes from transformation. It comes from the inside out, God working in you. And it spills over into every aspect of your life. It affects your time, how you manage it, what you do with it, your moral choices, how you dress, how you speak, where you go, what you watch or listen to. There are new priorities in life because now you are gaining a biblical worldview. There's a spiritual sensitivity to be pleasing to God. That life source from which you are drawing is affecting you for your eternal glory. And it is having its influence on others. Many will welcome and enjoy it and even take selfish advantage of it, just as they did the Lord. Some will be drawn by it and you'll have opportunity to share the gospel. And others will want to put out your light. But no matter, Jesus says in that circumstance, you're most blessed. Matthew 5:10. Jesus says, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Here your roots are going down deep in humility as you draw upon the inexhaustible supply of the riches of the glory of God. And the structure is growing upward, built upon the veracity of the Word of God. So I ask you, how's your root system? Are you feeding on Christ? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Those are His words. Is daily Bible reading, prayer, and meditation a must for you? Or is the television your great escape? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His word to us is life. So how's your root system? We've got one last scripture. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, have you received Him? Is He precious to you? Do you feed upon Him? Rooted, so walk in Him. Live in Him. Be occupied with Him. He's your life. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Are you planted in Jesus? You know, are you growing? As you have been taught, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Word of God is our keeper. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Joyful in Christ. See, that's to be our life. That's to be those who are rooted and grounded, growing, loving the Lord Jesus. Do you love Him? Do you want to know Him? There's rich sap which flows from Jesus through the members of His body, which unites us in a common faith. Love is the ligament that holds us all together. Rich sap, or rich lives of service and sacrifice and worship and praise for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us to the glory of God the Father. Now we're going to sing. And when we sing, we invite you to come. You want to give your heart to Christ. You want to be encouraged today. You want to have God kindle your flame. Or make sure your roots are going down deep into Him. You want to just come and give praise to Jesus. We invite you to come. I'll stand with me. I'd like to close with the last two verses from Paul's prayer in Ephesians. Would you stand? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that it works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, through all ages, world without end. Amen.